Glory to Jesus Christ. Thank you for joining us. The aim of this class is to gain the art of spiritual life through the teaching of Holy Bishop Ignatius Brancheninov. This study has already transformed many lives, and we hope your life will be transformed too.
In the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and ever and forever.
Amen.
So welcome back to our class. We are going to continue on page 123. And we'll be listening to Bishop Ignatius about the topic is how to love our neighbor. Our love towards our neighbors. So it is very, very interesting topic because we think that we know how to love our neighbor. But at first I would like to welcome all those who are new to the class. I am very happy that you came, that you are willing voluntary suffer in my accent and and this 1 hour. But it is really encouraging to see young people to come and maybe to try to learn something about this wisdom, Holy Fathers, and it gives hope for church. So I would like to encourage you that never be scared of this radicalism of our faith. Keep that and you will make next generation very holy. So let's go back to our topic, and we made like 3 parts of this beginning of the chapter last time, and in this part Brancheninov was trying to explain us that we have to somehow understand what does it mean to love in the correct way. And he pointed that, and his argument was that we have to realize that this our fall, or this effect of the fall, afflicted all of us. And what we see as a natural, actually it is not natural. It is condition of this corruption of our soul and heart. And because of this corruption, passion started to grow in our hearts, and they afflict everything what we are doing, how we feel, how we act, how we think, how we talk. And this is something what we have to realize, that these passions, this effects of this fall has power. They have power over us. And because of that, we have to really be aware of. Because many times what we naturally consider this is love, true is it is just fulfillment of some of our passions which are in our heart. And they are thirsty for a pleasant time, for pleasures. And we call it many times love. And we can see that like in this, like we talk about present time, modern time, we speak about crisis in marriages, a lot of divorces, but how many times you can hear if you talk to people who have this experience or they go through this crisis in marriage, it is, I don't feel fulfillment in this marriage. My partner doesn't f- feed or that doesn't fulfill my desires. It is always, it starts from me. I am not satisfied in this marriage. And this is very nice example how we how not correct this our understanding of love is. And this was trying to tell us Bishop Ignatius during this first part, that we have to realize that and somehow be aware of this corruption of our heart and not to trust our heart. And now he, in this, we are going to continue in the middle of that page 123, and he starts to explain how to come to true and pure love. So we will take like bigger part, and then we will be talking about this a little bit. So we start with this sentence, let us approach the Gospels. May I ask you?
Let us approach the Gospels, dear beloved brother. Let us look into this mirror. Looking at it, let us take off our old clothes into which we have been clothed by our fall, and let us decorate ourselves with a new robe which is prepared for us by God. The new robe is Christ himself. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. The new robe is the Holy Spirit. You are endued with power from on high, said the Lord. Christians are clothed with the qualities of Christ through the action of the all-good Spirit. Such a robe is possible for every Christian. The Apostle says, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts.
Okay, thank you. So he starts this, he wants to show us the journey or the way to true love. And he starts that this journey starts with holy baptism. Because through holy baptism, we are, it's like our new birth. We become a new creation. Baptism really changes our heart, soul, mind. We are renewed in this baptism. We become a new creation through baptism. And like Saint Theophan the Recluse, he says that this eternal wisdom made a dwelling among us on this earth, and we are invited to enter to this dwelling place, and the door to this dwelling place is baptism. And he continues that, well, that at the door we are clothed, dressed, we are getting this new robe, as we heard in this parable about this banquet. Everybody who is baptized gets this new robe, and not only robe, he says that it is this robe is this sign which is like sealed to our soul, and this seal is recognized by all beings, or should be recognized. And the grace which comes with this new robe, this transformation of our whole being, this grace gives like this God's order to our life. It's like healing of our heart, our mind, our soul, everything, and gives us this orientation towards God. So Brancino, he reminds us that we should live our baptism. And well, the textbook is Gospel, and if we do this, we have to be sure that we can expect help from above. And this is something what many times we forget, but that Theo van der Kloos, in his book Path to Salvation, he dedicates, like, I mentioned that it's 50 pages approximately, how to take care of children, raise the children from babies, from time of baptism up to time when they are adult. And they he insists that parents and grandparents and godparents and whole community, we should look at these babies who are baptized like as a beings who are holding this grace inside, and we should do everything to protect this grace in their souls. We do everything. And this is very interesting, because he says, well, you should teach children from the childhood to fast, you know, to really learn them how to pray, how to fast, how to rule over their passions. He said, when you see that your child shows first sign of some kind of passion, you should act and to correct this activity, which started to grow in soul and is visible in soul of the child. And again, you know, this is something what is connected with love. Parents cannot do it if they don't do it for themselves. If I don't try to protect grace in my heart, I don't know, and then I don't wish to protect this grace in somebody else. And it is something, even we talk about how to love our neighbor, I would say in this part that we need to learn how to love correctly ourselves. And to love correctly ourselves mean that to love means to wish good thing. What is good thing for me? To keep this grace I obtained during baptism in my life. And if I learn to see this value of baptism, of this grace in my life, and I try to protect it, and I am following, I am putting to my life all these exercises or these ways of how I live in order to protect this grace, so then I will learn through my own experience what is danger for this grace. And then I will be able to protect my child. I say, oh, no, this is not good. And I will have true love. Because, again, how we act many times, and I would blame myself in this way too, that because it's sometimes natural that we love babies, love our children, and we really overlook many times these moments of rebellion or these first passions which come, and we say, oh, this is so cute, it's a child. We have a lot of excuses because it seems to us that it is not kind, it is not sign of love if I step in and I try to somehow correct the child. Or we give them too much and we feed this some kind of this ties with the world, with things, in order to make this child happy, to provide everything for happiness. And again, if I know that I have to deny many things in order to keep this grace in my life, so then I will not expose the child to some kind of danger. I will not expose child to danger to acquire bad habits, bad approaches to life. So this first step, if we want to learn how to love others with pure love is to learn love ourselves in all, and in this way to protect this grace which was given to us. Your comments or questions? No? Good, I like that. So let's continue.
First, guided by the Gospels, throw off all enmity, remembrance of evil, anger, judgment, and everything else that acts against love. The Gospels require that we pray for our enemies, bless those who curse us, do good to those who hate us, and forgive our neighbor anything that he may have done against us. Whoever strives to emulate Christ, let him fulfill all these commandments through actions. It is not enough only to read the commandments of the gospel with pleasure and to be amazed at the level of morality they contain. Unfortunately, many are content only with this. When you begin to fulfill the commandments of the gospels through deeds, the lords of your heart will stubbornly battle against you. These lords are your own carnal state, which subjects your flesh and blood, and the fallen angels who dominate the carnal state of mankind. The carnal mind, its truth, and the truth of the fallen spirits will require that you do not dishonor yourself and your worldly situation, but protect it at all cost. But you must bravely withstand this invisible war, guided by the Gospels, guided by the Lord himself.
Yeah, so he showed like some kind of strategy, you know, that if he found the way, okay, baptism is the way which teach us how to have true, pure love towards our neighbors. But if we want to walk on this way, he says, we learn to this love or we obtain this love when we keep commandments. And it seems like, well, this is a little bit strange, keeping commandments, you know, and what is connected with love. But true is that each commandment we found, I don't talk about this Decalogue now, but all these Christ commandments we can find in gospel, if we start to live in fullness in a radical way, so it is connected because with the others. Because it is not only this direct commandments like to bless others, to forgive enemies and others, but even like this first commandment, when he says, repent. And it means that if I start to repentance, it means that I'm trying to change my mind in that way, and that I direct my life according to his words. How my life has impact on others. I am not able to do good, bad things to others. Keeping commandments, it means, if I keep commandments, it means that I act correctly towards the others. And I have this wisdom, I'm not pretend something. I am not faking love. Many times I will be strong, and maybe those people around me will be a little bit even upset if I live according to the truth. But this will lead them towards Christ. And this is another thing is that when we live commandments, many times we have this problem that we are afraid to say no to others in some situations when commandment tells us to do this and my neighbor wants to do this. And many times I make compromise. I am living God's words, God's way, to please my neighbor. But again, this is something what comes up from this corruption of our soul. Because if I want good thing for my neighbor, what is a good thing? Salvation of the soul. So if I make compromise to please person and I leave God's law, so I expose myself to sin, and I support my neighbor in sin or not perfectness, and it is not helping. And some to be at it, it's time to be strong, not with anger, not with hate or something, like to be nice, but nicely keep on position even at the moment the neighbor is upset, but it will leave mark there. And I can tell you, like, from my pastoral experience, is that many times those things leave impression on souls. If we stay strongly and we keep commandment, and after many, many years, it still resonates in others. And many times those moments are this, or remembrance of these moments leads to personal conversion in the future of this person, because it's still there. This false pleasure or this kindness we show, and we pay this price that we betray God's law, will be forgotten next day. I don't say now to go and to make everybody upset, you know, it's not this way, but in, you know about the specific situation. And another thing is what he says, and this is very interesting, that we start to do this, when we start to keep commandments in order to learn or to gain this pure love towards neighbors, we will find truth about ourselves. Because if we start this journey, and if we start to, okay, I will now bless all those who do bad things to me, or they are thinking bad or talking bad about me and whatever, I will find immediately almost how difficult it is for me. How difficult it is for me to keep commandment. That how much energy I have to put to my life, to my thoughts, to my decisions, to make good decisions, and I fail many times. At first I realized that I even don't think about that what is right, what is not right. In second stage, I will know, I will learn immediately what is right, what is not right, but I don't have power in my soul, in my will, to follow that. And yes, as St. Paul says, that, well, yes, I wish to do one thing, but I'm doing another thing. And all those things will bring us to that state that we will see that what is inside of me. This moment when we recognize these passions which reign in my soul, in our souls. And it is something what is not pleasant. We would be ashamed. We would feel shame that what we find in our heart. But at that moment when we are ashamed and we start to ask for help, for God's grace, to help us to overcome these passions, and we were talking before about that, at the time transformational heart starts. This is the moment when God's power can act in our hearts. God can act with His grace in our heart when we really ask Him, when we ask for this mercy, when we admit that we depend on Him. that we need him to be healed. If we don't do this, we are in some kind of state of pride, which is barrier for God's grace and for working in our hearts. So it is really good to start to remember this advice and to start this journey towards pure love with keeping commandments. As far as we start practically to show love to others, true love, but we will be learning about ourselves and asking for God's grace. So more we go through the transformation through God's grace, more we'll be able to keep commandments, more pure our love towards others will be. It's not difficult to know this advice, to understand the advice, but I promise you, if you try, you will find it very difficult. And and this is why Holy Father tells us that give blood and receive spirit. They always put this ability to be, or this they say that God gives our gifts, gives the Holy Spirit grace and all these wonderful things. But we have to be ready for that. And to make our heart ready, it's not one pious sight that, oh God help me, will not help. It is really a fight, bloody fight, when we have to conquer ourselves. All right, comment?
Wait.
I don't know if it's going to really get me, but in the spiritual life, in that battle, it seems like very often, at the same time, your greatest enemy is yourself, and so you're engaged in this constant battle with God, and it's a fight that he's going to let you win if you want to. Like he'll let you win, he'll let you go to hell. But at the same time that's where we tend to go because of the fall, when we realize that's not what we want, and we want to live a spiritual life, and want to go to heaven, like, how do you begin to reconcile the fact that, like, you're fighting with yourself, but at the same time, you're fighting with God, and figuring out, like, how you engage in a battle that's essentially one of the will, with someone who knows what's best for you, and who wants what's best for you, and you absolutely know that. It's a battle to surrender, and that is the hardest kind of fight. So how do you even begin to, like, process that and engage in that at the same time?
Maybe. What I have done to you. Well, very good question, but it touches the really what is important in spiritual life. To give up, I mean, to enter to the state of submission to God, it means to deny ourselves. You know, to deny ourselves, it means that I am making this decision. I am submitting my life to Christ. And yes, it is battle, and it is giving. I would say we make decision to lose our will for God. There is. One thing is that many years ago, I think I was seminarian, and we watched one video about from life in one Russian monastery. And I don't remember many things, but one thing is that young monk, he said, the first years in monastery should be dedicated to broken the will of that new monk. He said, after your will is not broken at that, you are not able to become good monk. And it means to learn how to depend on God. And the same thing if in our church, we start at the door before parents and godparents and for sure baby, if they don't forget to bring for baptism, enter to the church. Priest asks three times, do you submit yourself to Christ? Three times. And they answer yes. And then priest ask again after like the creed is that, did you submit yourself to Christ? Again, answer is yes. And this is condition at baptism. You know, if baptism is new life is Christ. And baptism, it is when I really make decision to give my life to Christ. I'm answering your question, Maggie. So again, it might it's difficult to accept this, you know, because it's difficult for us to somehow accept that we should submit ourselves to Christ in this radical way to God. And then we say, well, then we are not free people. But actually, through this act, we become really free. Really free. Our freedom is total, but in this freedom, we are choosing good things, God things. And this aspect is missing now. I would say in present or some kind of church culture, because even baptism, when they became like a lot of baptisms before, you know, like I don't want to go too far, but how baptisms were done, very in simple way, when the person was ready for baptism. When person, it means ready, what does it mean? When the person lived according to commandments, when the person kept the commandments, when the person was ready to give life to Christ, the person was brought to bishop, and those who, well, this catechist gave testimony, he is ready for baptism. So it was not that he was baptized and then, you know, so this preparation took like 6-7 years for baptism. Well, there are situations which this was like the perfect, you know, setting. But it means this seriousness was given there. And then really when the person was entering the water and to be submerged underwater, he really knew that now is the moment when I am dying to myself, to this world, to everything. And I am going out from the water as a new creation. And it was, and in this act they were aware of that now my life belongs to God. Does it make sense? And we didn't go through this, or our parents didn't lead us so radical in this way to understanding of this moment of baptism. So we have to learn it. And it is wrestling, because if you want to submit your life to Christ, to God, you are fighting with God, because whole your inner world, your soul is saying no to this. You know, we are trying to save ourselves, and we are so afraid of this dying to ourselves. And we give arguments to God that why not, why we should keep ourselves for ourselves. And we are trying to find way how to make compromise with what we feel in this fallen nature. How and why not to follow Him?
But without a formation, you can't even make that distinction.
Sure. Sure.
So it's just like a mess if you don't have any sort of background in it.
Well, yeah, but this is why there is a church here.
Yeah.
You know, that church, it's a role and duty of the church. And if I think about church, I'm not talking only about priests and bishops and deacons. I'm talking about parents, you know, and grandparents and all this, like, community. Like, there's all this saying that it takes one village to raise one child. You know, it means that this testimony and this influence of this community helps to this formation of that baby to become Christians. Well, now we are in very hard, difficult situation because this culture, Christian culture, is missing. That we are really alone, and this is why we need to be hearers. Really take it very seriously. Somebody else, you had something?
I was going to make a comment relating to how momentary harshness can positively impact a soul. And it's Padre Pio's feast day today, and I was just thinking about how he would often deny absolution to penitents who he discerned during confession were not really repenting of their sins. And we were on a conference kind of retreat this weekend, and we were with a priest, and he was talking about much the same thing. And he told a story about how he said it was his first mission. The first mission he preached, and then he was hearing confessions, and a penitent came in, and he was confessing some sin that I think he was addicted to, but he didn't give us specifics. And he said he denied him, Father denied him absolution because he discerned at some point that you're not serious about stopping doing this, so I'm not going to absolve you. And he met the same man years later, and the man came up to him and said, like, and he kind of made it sound like he was still a little angry. He said, like, I can't believe, like, you did that to me in confession, and, you know, all this stuff. And Father said, well, would you ever do it again? And he said, I'd rather die. He never did it again after he did that to him.
Well, you know how this difficult it is? Yeah. Well, thank you for that. But again, you know that this is like important is, I mentioned that our spiritual father in seminary, he told us once that don't be ashamed to ask people to pray for you. Because he said that it's so difficult to, from this human point of view, to be a pastor, because you love people in your parish, but you have to tell many times hard things for salvation of souls. And he said you have to have this really power from above to do this. and to risk. And this is what you said now, well, it brings even like one thing what is here, because I can compare being 17 years prison in Slovakia and here, it's quite different. And priests in Slovakia, because there is like different kind of that the salary comes from state, it's not the best solution, but well, it is reality there and in other countries around Slovakia. But if you are in parish, you are some in some way independent, more independent. One thing. Another thing is that there are territorial parishes. So it means that, like it's here, if parish is here, so all Byzantine Catholics in Barberton belongs to this parish. But here it is different, that this is that to parish belongs to those who want to belong to this parish, and they can change parish anytime. And it is really some kind of, many times it ties hands and tongue of priest, you know, because, well, he doesn't. Yeah, because it's like it's, I can say something and the person can go. So, and but this is, if priest thinks this way, well, it is not a perfect way. But, well, if he has this duty to take care of whole parish many times, you know, trying to keep parish alive, well, it's huge temptation to keep mouth shut, you know. And this is why we need to pray for priests, because they need to have this courage, despite all these other problems they face, to be faithful to this ministry to souls. But thank you for this. All right, let's have another few things, few paragraphs.
Okay. Sacrifice everything for the fulfillment of the commandments of the gospel. Without such a sacrifice, you will never be able to follow them. The Lord said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself." When the Lord is with you, you can hope for victory. The Lord cannot be defeated. Ask the Lord to grant you this victory. Ask it with constant prayer and tears. An unexpected grace will be given your heart. You will immediately feel a sweet satisfaction of spiritual love for your enemies. But the battle still awaits you. You must still be courageous. Look at the objects of your affection. Are they still pleasing to you? Is your heart still attached to them? You must reject them. The Lord, the giver of the law of love, demands such rejection from you, not in order to deprive you of love and the ones you love. Rather, by rejecting carnal love tainted by sin, you will become capable of spiritual, pure, holy love, which is the highest blessedness. He who has felt spiritual love will only despise carnal love, seeing it for the unsightly parody of love that it is.
Actually, he gives answers to many, we were talking about these things. So we are not going to repeat those things, that we have to expect battles, you know, and to fight, and really we have to be heroes in this fight for following God's commandments. But what he reminds us here is that what is needed for us, it's like persistence in prayer. That if we think that we can do it by our own power, it's impossible. It has to be prayer. Prayer which is present in our life nonstop. And well, this is another difficult part, how to pray. We will be talking very soon about prayer, and how he teaches us to pray, but when I was reading recently that he says like two or three pages is about how to prepare for prayer, you know, and then we are able to pray. So when I read that, I said, well, it's so difficult to pray, you know. But we will get there. But well, even not perfect prayer is important, because through this we learn how to pray. But to really design of our denying ourselves to that I need help from above for my life is very important. And prayer, without that, we are not able to even to start. Okay, so let's continue.
How can one reject the objects of one's attachment, which seem to have become physically bonded to the very heart of man? Turn to God with the words, "All these things, Lord, are yours. Who am I? I am an inconsequential creature who has no value. Today I wander through the world. Today I might be useful to my beloved in some way, but tomorrow I may die and become as nothing to them. Whether I desire it or not, death will come. Other situations may arise that separate me from those whom I consider my own, and they will no longer be mine. They were never in actual fact mine. There was some sort of relation between us, and being fooled by this relation, I called and considered them my own. But if they were truly mine, they would forever remain in my possession. The creature belongs only to the Creator. He is their God and Lord. My Lord, to you I give your own. I have attached them to myself unlawfully and uselessly. It is better for them to be gods. God is eternal, omnipresent, all-powerful, eternally good. To his own he is the most loyal, most dependable helper and defender. God gives all that belongs to him to his people, and when God gives such a gift to man, man's beloved becomes his own, at first in body and eternally in spirit."
One more, please. Almost, yeah, true.
True love for one's neighbor is established on faith in God. It is in God himself. "That they all may be one," said the Savior of the world to his Father, "as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us."
I think that those words are very clear, but I would just stress one thing he's talking about. And many times we don't think about correctly about that. He says, and he warns us that it might be some kind of attachments to other people which can stop us at first in our love to our God, but it can stop us to love them correctly. To have pure love, to really love our neighbors, we have to be free. It means we serve to God, and this is the only attachment we should have. If we do this, if we have this, so everything falls in order. Because commandments, which we keep not because we must, but because we want, because we love God, leads us to do all things correctly, to show and to act toward others in correct way. But if this attachment comes from God to other person or persons, so then we are not free. we are slaves of this relationship, this connection, and it's we can see this or understand this from many situations which we know from our life. It's many times you can see, especially, well, we have a lot of younger people here today, but it is not criticism, but it is what you can see, that sometimes somebody falls in love with somebody, and friends, they say, well, you didn't choose well. This person, this boy or this girl, they will ruin you. But this attachment causes that the person is blind. This is not true. And in the end, after a few weeks, months, even sometimes years, this relationship is over because the person realized, I made a mistake. Everybody was saying to me, but I didn't see that. So it is something what is common. This is the clear example, and we can understand this, but there are other attachments we can have and which cause us that we don't see clearly what is correct, what is true, what is right. Many times, like, even I have to look around, if I don't want to touch anybody, but you know, we had this sign of these bachelors, not singles, men, or even sometimes ladies, you know, that are single, and they're attached to mothers, you know, and this attachment, you can see that they act based on this attachment. They are not able to grow, to mature. They're like prisoners of this relationship, this attachment. They are not able to make this step and to do own responsibility. And then it is something what is like block for Pilau to make this attachments to God and to follow God things. There are attachments to our own desires, which are connected with to other people, and sometimes we need to break these attachments, even it seems like good. I remember one man, it was in my first parish, I was a young priest, first parish, so I was young at the time, no, it's normal. Well, sorry for that. But I met, there was one man, and there was one situation, we had like a long discussion, and I realized that, well, this man is very sad. And I told him, you know, that why are you so sad? You know, I feel this sadness in you, and you have nice family, good wife, nice children, you know, and everything goes well for you, so what is the problem? And he told me that, well, when he was younger, he was making this decision to continue in relationship with this girl, which she became his wife, or to go to seminary. And he said, well, I didn't want to hurt you, her, you know, that. So he decided to marry her. And he said, wonderful marriage. I said, I cannot say anything wrong, you know. We have good marriage, good life, but I still know that I didn't make good decision. And well, but he did well. It's like it was his decision, but probably his real vocation was to go to become a Roman Catholic priest. But he made decision, he followed this decision, he did correctly, because he created good family and he raised good children and everything. So he fulfilled this role for, he made decisions for. But what he felt, that this attachment, I would say now, based on this, to person, he was not really free to make good decision. And some kind of this sadness stayed with him whole life from that. Even he tried from this, he made decision and he fulfilled this new vocation, I would say, very well. He felt that somehow this was not the best decision. Well, it's difficult. It's difficult to make this or this judgment over that, because we are making many times very serious decision in our life. And well, there's a rule that, well, if we make decision and we follow this our decision, when we really spend time in discernment, and there were like two opportunities which had the same value, and we were not, nobody was able to tell us to choose, and we feel like it's 50-50, you know. So finally you said, okay, I'm choosing this, hope, with hope that it's God's will for me. And then I am trying to fulfill this my decision, this my vocation, or this way I chose. It's okay. I can become holy in each vocation. But I think in his case, I think that it was not 50-50. I think it's more for priesthood. He just, there's just this aspect that he was tied to this girl somehow, and because of that he was not free to make good decision. And I think that he felt it this way. And some kind of sadness came to his life. So it is, we have to really look at our relationships. If we are not prisoners of this, our relationship with others, if we are really free for God. Again, it doesn't mean to ignore others. It doesn't mean to somehow to push them away. It means that if I am really free for God, and the only this attachment I have is God and His will, then I am really free, and these my relationships are much better towards others. And I am not prisoner of others, and I am not making bad decisions. All right, so we will finish here.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast. Please share it with those who might like to be enriched by this teaching of Holy Bishop Ignatius. If you live in our area, we would love if you could join us for our study in person on Monday nights at 7 p.m. at St. Nicholas Byzantine Catholic Church in Barberton, Ohio. Thank you, and God bless.